Welcome to the service celebrating a special day in the life of the family. It is known as Father's Day. So we thank you for tuning in, and we pray that you honor your father today. And Scripture tells us we are to honor our mother and our father. So most important, if we have broken homes, and sometimes we do, to remember you have a heavenly father that you can call on. And if you accept him into your life, you have eternal life. It's such a blessing. But I said all that to say this: do you believe in miracles? Yeah, miracles. Well, you know, how often do you define a miracle? Now, sometimes in our culture, we have come to disregard miracles. Well, that's, you know, we set the bar so high for the wows and the pows and end up missing the mark. And I don't know, small miracles are all around us. Yeah, God's still in the miracle business. And we can still experience big miracles. Those of you who read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at some of our colleges, Asbury, Florida State, Florida, many colleges around the country has experienced a kind of reverence and awe for the things of God. And it's continuing to happen, even after the aftermath of that one little thing that sparked it at Asbury. But what about the miracles that we experience every single day? And probably, for the most part, we just take the miracle verse for granted, the miracle of life, the miracle of our universe, the miracle of a single seed. The miracles all around us remind us that we're not alone, but also that human beings alone could never duplicate the vastness, the complexity, and the miraculous nature of God's created world. We can't do it. It's far beyond our abilities and comprehension. Even the best physicists and astronomers can't figure out the underlying secrets of the universe and how it operates and how it originated. Wow, there's still a lot we don't know, isn't it? And I think God planned it that way because one thing that we can do, we can do AI and we can do some of the things, but you know, humans never been able to figure out how to create a seed. Think about that. As much as we'd like to ignore these kinds of dilemmas, we still remain. We cannot explain or control or predict or create much of what we steward on this planet in our lives that we can contribute to. We can observe and we can creatively, industriously make the most of what we've been given in trust by God to care for it. You know, really, we don't own anything in this old world. We're strictly caregivers. All of it belongs to God, and he lets us use it. But we are not and never will be the creator and the owner of that vineyard. When Jesus' attempt to explain our scriptures today and how we are to behave as trustees of God's created world and what our job entails as God's vineyard worker in order to ensure a kingdom, you know, like kind of a community, he explained it in terms of seed sowing and seed scattering. The kingdom of God is if somebody would scatter seeds on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. And when the grain is ripe, at once he goes with his sickle and harvests it. Well, there it is. We are the sowers and the harvesters. That's our job. We sow seeds and we gather them in. We sow. God creates. We celebrate that. Sounds simple, doesn't it? We plant seeds and God does the rest. Then why do we make it so hard? You know, we do, especially in the church. Because as humans, we make this process incredibly hard. First of all, we hate sowing seeds, and even when we do, we pretty much kill that plant before anything can take root with our expectations or pessimism. If we do not attempt to grow, instead of letting God do God's part, we feel the need to plan it, schedule it, strategize it, create outcomes, and make goals out of it, and numeralize it. create statistics from it or set up a scheme of success or failure. And we get challenged and anything to keep our hands in the pie, so to speak, or ourselves in control of the outcome. Well, anything to avoid putting faith in God and Jesus Christ and relying on God's role in the process, because the bottom line is that we, in the basis parts of our heart, believe that we are the only ones who can fix our declining numbers. Talking about the church. We need to own up to this. Christians, though we may be, most of us in our hearts do not truly believe that God can still work miracles, that God is present and is capable of doing the work that Jesus tells us God can and will do. We believe that if something is to change, we must do it. And how has that worked for us as the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, I think the irony is that because of our efforts in creating results, our way has often failed, and we have not only given up on God's abilities and our own abilities, that we have given up on sowing altogether. So not only have we given up the belief that God can make change for us, it's also given up in the belief that we can do it on our own. Now, in utter disillusionment over the existential dilemma, we have given up on trying it all. Yet, I know we have the yets and the buts and the ifs, yet we do know and recognize is that a church cannot reproduce. Like any crop or animal, or eventually, since the church can't reproduce, it'll die out. Everything expects to grow and flourish and must continue to reproduce. So what do we do? I love it because over the years of being in the United Methodist Church, we'll get a program. That'll fix it. So what do we really do? Do we simply sit back and wait out our demise, or do we go back into the scriptures and listen to what Jesus is telling us and begin our process over again in a different and more faithful way? Can we begin again sowing seeds, harvesting in joy, and leave everything in between up to God? Can we believe again that God will provide? Instead of planning, we can begin planting. Like all gardeners and farmers know, cultivating a field is an organic process. And when you plant it too much on your own terms, you kill it. You need to water certain crops in certain amounts and ways. You need to be sensitive to planting some plants in the sunlight and others in the shade. And you need to allow them to grow and flourish without trying to harvest them too early. Everything in God's time. I love that book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Everything is about God's time. There's a time for this and a time for that. So, plants may wither, others may grow, like weeds, depending on the soil, depending on the weather, and many other conditions. But, I love the buts, what God touches will bloom and grow. For Jesus, the kingdom of God, the people of God that his disciples are to heal and to love in his name will grow and flourish according to the will of God. We don't need to force them, push them, or trick them into becoming what we imagine they should be. All we need to do is sow God's seeds of love and grace, and God will work miracles in their lives. So today, in today's world, our churches must again learn to seed and dare to plant without the need to plan outcomes or set goals. Oh yeah, goals really are efforts to ensure that we benefit from our labors, and that's a good thing, but this is not God's way. When we seed and plant according to God's will without expectation, plan for self-benefit or control, we will witness the kind of miracles that God will do in the lives of others. Planting, seeding is something you do to benefit someone else. It's a commitment to feed others. Think about that. That's what farmers do. And there's a reason for Jesus using these organic metaphors farmers don't only farm to feed themselves, although they do. They feed and farm for others. They farm to feed the world. The more they plant, the more they feed. Their livelihood is bound up in the livelihoods of others, and you can't plan for success of your crops. Farming has many elements that lie outside the farmer's control. Sordid weather, good or bad soil, natural disasters, drought, too much rain, crop diseases, insects, a bad group of seeds, a farmer does not have security. But a farmer that has faith and hope, a farmer does not commit to the omniscience of God, but does commit to the daily discipline, prayer, perseverance, a team effort to seed the land and to care for it to the best of his or her ability. Now, the truth is, we don't need to be actual farmers to plant the way God intended. In fact, God directed us from time to time, back even in the Garden of Eden, and asked us to till and to keep the covenant of God between our divine Creator and all humankind, and to bear the fruit of that relationship to all generations. We are seed bearers and sowers. We are to plant the seeds of love and hope and prayer, and more importantly, the gospel, and allow God to work the miracles among people that only God can do. That only God can do. Hear that, church. Jesus is commissioning words to Peter when he prepared him for the task of ministering to the world in need. What did he tell him? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And to take Jesus' commission seriously, to contemplate Jesus' vision of a kingdom of God on earth, created with our help, our discipline, our agency, and our grit, requires us to be planters of seeds, not just to serve up the dinner to our own family, but to feed a world starving for grace, the grace of God in their lives. Planting cultivates faith, and the more you plant without expectation, the more you find you are planting in faith. Jesus tells us that all it takes is a little bit of love and a little bit of faith to start an entire movement. He talked about a mustard seed. A mustard seed can do the job. Just a little bit of faith in God's ability and power, and the kingdom community that Jesus imagined will grow like a weed. We seed, we plant, we pray, we believe, and God's miracles begin to happen if we get out of the way. Planting seeds of love for the future must be the primary industry of the church. If the church is to survive beyond its current generations, it must begin to sow the seeds that'll let it reproduce. We cannot control it. We cannot decide it. We cannot plan it. We cannot make it happen. But we can serve in God's vineyard and witness to the miracles around us. God can lift up a church that has been planted in faith. Bethel has been planted in the faith since 1834. Wow! May God's reign work miracles with those who strive and to seed and to serve, and may we be so blessed to see a portion of the harvest that God's outpouring will produce. So the challenge for all of us is to go in faith, people of God, as seed bearers of the kingdom and farmers of the kind of love and mercy that only true disciples of Jesus Christ can hope to produce. And may your efforts be always those of love and grace. And may God's presence ever be your guide. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, continue to guide us and to strengthen us, because your work will be the stuff of God's miracles. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a wonderful day. And it is a wonderful thing to realize how many miracles are around us every moment of our life, especially when it comes to the little thing as a seed. Amen. Have a good day.